If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
It's after 7 o'clock. You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. An exciting conversation we're about to have right now, and one that really does speak to our interaction, not only on social media, but what it means in terms of citizen trust. And I'd like you to take a moment, right? Just a moment ago, I was on my phone looking at Twitter once again, and I realized, I follow the presidency, Fikile Mbalula, and a few other players within government. And funny, when we look at our interactions on social media with many of our government representatives, truth be told, it's very casual from a South African point of view. Just part of the social construct and, I guess, culture that we've managed to establish. But what does this mean in terms of not only digital engagement, but also citizen trust? Well, there's a fantastic report that has given us some detail into this, and it's really very critical because it helps us understand how South African government leaders are perceived on social media, specifically when it comes to X. To tell us more about this, we join in studio by a significant leader in the communication space, a good friend of the show and a good friend of mine as well, Lorato Shengeng, who is the CEO of Decode Communications. Such a pleasure to have you in studio.
Thank you so much for hosting me, Gugu, and good evening to you and the listeners.
Oh, I'm excited for this one. It's always fantastic, you know, when we look at, it's a very different project as well, because typically we just think, government officials on social media, they have to be there so that they actually share some kind of messaging. But help us understand the nuance of this particular report and why it actually remains critical to measure and to give us some insight on a very important aspect of stakeholder engagement.
Sure. In the past 5 years, one of the almost, you know, biggest moments in the world was 2021, January 6th, when some Americans stormed the Capitol, right? And after that, we saw a number of social media platforms banning Donald Trump to be on there. Mm-hmm. Because with him, you know, being on social media after January 20th of January, when President Biden was then sworn in as the president of the U.S., he continues to say that the elections were rigged. Mm-hmm. And you are seeing that similar sentiment, you know, growing, where a lot of, you know, people were putting up that messaging, believing it. And of course, then, you know, the banter then would turn into hate. It would turn into, you know, bad exchanges.
Yes, disinformation leading to propaganda, really.
Absolutely, right? And although we had started the report in 2020 when, you know, internet exploded in South Africa because of COVID-19, we then recognized that, think about, you know, Kaya FM, the utility of the platform. Mm. If when the Senzo Meyiwa case is on, you know, either Bizo Mlimane or one of the reporters, Kat, would be there using Twitter to give me a rolling coverage of the report, 100%. Or even at a press briefing, right? So you then realize that even yourself, you know, you'd be giving listeners to say, you know, tag us on X. You'd not say Facebook. You'd not say Instagram. Although those two platforms have a bigger following and, you know, users in the country. We then recognize that, you know, even if you look at businesses, right, to a great extent, almost Twitter, because of its real-time algorithm, it then, you know, it differentiates itself in that way. So from a newsworthy content point of view, if you are an MEC of transport in Northwest, right, the likelihood is that if you send a press release to, to the news room here, it's going to go to file 13 because Northwest in the bigger scheme of things. But the likelihood is that if you put it on X, it may be picked up.
That's true. And that's so critical because I'm glad that you're reminding us that social media has really become another avenue for us to actually communicate and to trust the information that we get there, especially when it comes from registered and recognized organizations or even leaders. Yeah. And in our case in South Africa, we have a number of government officials who have Twitter accounts. Some had them before they were MPs. Some are really running with it now that they are MPs. But maybe let's start with it in terms of looking at some of the top performers, the most followed, most engaged. My mind is just thinking, Gayton McKenzie. Yo.
No, indeed.
But there's a few, right?
Yes. So the most followed account among government leaders is President Cyril Ramaphosa with about 2.95 million followers, right? Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it makes absolute sense. My biggest gripe with that account is that while we know that it's not him who's tweeting, it broadcasts. Mm. But it perhaps also talks to the man or at least how he's been in the administration. If you remember, organizations such as SANEF, they bemoaned that he's unaccountable because yes. on numerous occasions they've asked, when are you engaging us? Mm-hmm. Don't talk at us.
Yay.
You know, so that is the character of his account is that way. For me, it mirrors the person he is when it comes to being accountable to other players in the space. And then you'd be also, you know, your listeners would be shocked. The second most followed government leader is none other than Bantu Holomisa.
Bantu Holomisa.
Indeed. To the point that you made, to say a lot of them had a huge following before they became ministers or even deputy ministers.
Uh-huh.
Bantu Holomisa, if you think about him, a lot of the content, besides political content, has been around Kaizer Chiefs.
Yes.
He's fanatic about Kaizer Chiefs. But also, banter on X.
Yes.
Right? He's one of those that if you jab, he jabs back. Right, but
yes.
That is even his character, even in real life.
Got you.
Right, so you don't have to wonder is this himself or not. But what has concerned me over the past 6 months since he became a deputy minister, he tweets less.
Mm.
Right, perhaps the question is: remember before June the election in June 2024?
Yes.
He was in the opposition benches.
Yes.
So whenever PIC was the issue, he was the champion that was talking about, you know, the PIC is being raided by the ANC. Now he has blue lights.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and perhaps, it's something to be thinking about. Thirdly, the third most followed is Panyaza Lesufi. He has always been that.
Yes.
Gwede Mandashe. Yes, I know you'd be surprised that Gwede Mandashe.
Minimal engagement, if I'm not mistaken,
no,
from you.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. The thing about him is that he has been the chairman of the ANC for the longest while. And that is the kind of content that he puts up a lot on his platform.
Yes.
And then your favorite minister, Gaitin McKenzie. He's the fifth most followed minister on X. And it is interesting moment. So if you think about when he started, right, he was said to be the most excited minister.
Oh yes.
And then the lists. You remember the lists with everyone who benefited.
Yes.
Yes. So that's where you see the highest peak, right? And he gained a lot of followers in that week.
I remember.
Right. And then just after that, it was the Olympics. While he was in France, there was the statement on Israel and Palestine.
Yes.
There was another conversation peak around there where the deputy minister had said that, listen, we support, Palestine. And of course, he then said, I will deal with this matter when I come back.
I recall.
Immediately after that, the minister in the presidency, Khumbuzo Ntshabeni, had to say, folks, hang on. We are going to workshop all of you all because this is not on. And I guess it was one demonstrating that there's no framework for if you are a minister and you are inducted. They induct you about many other things, where's the kitchen, where's that, and but they don't induct them on now that you have this powerful tool, whether you're using it before you became minister or not, how do you use it? What is the conduct and decorum that we expect? That was evidently absent.
I'm so glad you mentioned this because I just took note that clearly engagement and following is driven by a number of things.
Yeah.
Seniority or rank within the government institution or government as it stands.
Yeah.
Also looking at the level of engagement. But as you've mentioned, that time frame.
Yes.
Because there's typically shifts, you know, as to what changes between when you were most engaged and getting engaging and had a higher number of followers to when that might shift and change outside of it. You allude to something so important, framework.
Yeah.
Government structure to say this is how we communicate. And I've seen that that's very popular, especially within US politics and even other international markets.
Indeed.
Why is it important? And how do we find this balance, I guess, in terms of adequate engagement and structure in terms of what we say on social media? Because as you say, Stilfontein also took place at a media briefing, a minister in the presidency also said, well, we'll smoke them out, which could also have been a very reckless statement and not very clear on how we communicate.
So, and this is one of the things that, over the past 5 years we've been trying to advocate for, right? To say we need an institutionalization of how digital comms is done, particularly by government leaders.
Yes.
Simple example. In the U.S., you were just in the U.S. recently. In the U.S., when you are Biden, former President Biden, and maybe at the time you're still president, during your tenure, you don't use Joe Biden the handle.
Yes.
You now use POTUS.
Thank you.
As the handle. But it will be POTUS, and then it will say, you know, 46th, you know, president of the U.S.
There's a very clear distinction. This is not your personal
profile. Right?
Yes.
And therefore, it means that the citizens expect a particular tone, you know, regular updates and accountability, which is the biggest thing that when people are asking, but why should people care about Twitter? And I said, public representatives, ministers are accountable to me.
Yes.
Whether they believe it or not, it's a different matter.
That's true.
Right? They're accountable to me. And one of the ways of them accounting to me is to then give me updates. Whether, you know, now the city, the mayor of the city of Johannesburg, one of the worst account, right? Mm-hmm. Of course, juxtaposed with the city of Tshwane. I don't know if you follow Dr. Nasipi Moya's account of the city of Tshwane. She came in, not only is she, you know, giving regular updates, that X account is on fire.
Oh.
Citizens are now gaining, and you know, so the point that we're making is about trust. Now they are gaining trust.
Yes.
They are gaining confidence. People are now showing here to say, we see you, that you are doing something there. Come to Sunnyside. There's squalor. There are drugs. There's this. And now she then, accountability. She then said, people have been asking me to come to Sunnyside. I didn't just want to come to Sunnyside because it's a gimmick. I'm going to come here with the police. We're going to... And indeed, that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
So it's to that great extent. And lastly, Google, on this institutionalization, right? Twitter or X or even all the other platforms, why government should be, you know, ensuring that people don't walk away with their following. So if you think about former Minister Fikile Mbalula.
Yes.
He had more than 2 million followers, right? Guess what? Now that he's ANC Secretary General, he walked away with all of that social capital.
Mm.
In the US, they would then archive the account of POTUS and the account of the First Lady so that historians, academics, students who want to study the history of that presidency through this prism of this account, they are able to do that.
Mm.
So it is not just about you and I only. It is also for posterity. So there's a big missed opportunity there.
I'm so glad you mentioned this, because sometimes we take that for granted, right? We're just thinking about the now, what's tweeted now. And you're right, within a month or 2 months' time, you actually forget. But in a moment in time, that forms part of history. And I'm keen to understand, like many of us, we're still adapting to this digital world that we live in this digital age. Are there structures, systems, and programs that can be implemented to make sure that we do save and archive this history? But also, the differentiation of digital presence and the capacity with which you move, because these ministers in this cabinet won't be in the next 5 years.
Indeed.
So we need to be planning and preparing for that too.
Absolutely. In fact, so yesterday when we were launching the report, we had Dr. Stembile Mbete, who's the executive director at PARI, Public Affairs Research Institute, you know, delivering a keynote. In her reflections, she looked at, and this was when she was closing, she said, what we should be interested in are three things. One, while we look at engagement, is it connecting to participation? And we know we talk about civic participation a lot, right? Are South Africans, particularly young South Africans, are they interested in civic participation, in civic issues and the likes? So if you needed to access service X, Y, or Z, particularly from public service, do you know where to get it? Which then connects to the third thing, to say, has the government created the adequate capacity to respond with these digital platforms?
Mm.
And you recognize that when there's a power outage, when there's a pothole, when people who are called Amapara are directing traffic at huge intersections, and you ask a question to say, but why are you guys not fixing the, it's a head in the sand mentality, right? Where then the responsiveness does not happen.
Yeah.
And you then recognize that when you look at these three things, right, around engagement, participation, and responsiveness, you then realize that that's where now the trust dips. Because here I am, I believe that, you know, think of Minister Sivuyo Gokhube of Basic Education.
Yes.
Somebody tagged her to say, but why are we buying
pine gel?
Mm-hmm. Right? And then she responded to say, oh, I didn't see it. I will look into it, right? What does it do to her brand and the brand Department of Basic Education when she does not respond? Because that person was asking it on behalf of a whole constituency. Mm-hmm. It was not just that one person, because there are many people who received those lists who have same concerns, mm-hmm. that, you know, they're affected by many other things, including food inflation, mm-hmm. you know, and those many things.
I'm so glad that you mentioned this, because it almost sounds as though these learnings are not just for government officials, government bodies, and those who communicate using social media to share their messaging, but it really can be implemented by individuals within private yep. institutions. How Absolutely. Kaya 959 engages with a listener who says, hey,
I'd love to have Kaya 959 as an account.
Lovely. I hope management is listening. Because that would also, and I can already tell you who would be the most engaged. Definitely Sizwe.
Sure.
And I think that as you say, there are lessons to tell. And I think, as you say, these lessons are primarily driven about understanding the level of trust you want to have, but also the objective of the trust that you're trying to generate.
Absolutely.
What is the end goal?
Absolutely.
So maybe for an entrepreneur or digital leader who might be listening right now, how can we take away some of the critical lessons that we can implement within our own organizations here?
If you're not following the SIU, Special Investigations Unit,
yes.
I would ask that person to say, firstly, start following that account.
Tell us why.
One of the And you know, again, to this thing of, you know, institutionalization, we've been observing this account for a while. Before Keza Kanyaho, who's the head of comms, came to the SIU, there was no X presence to be spoken about, or even social media presence to be spoken about. He came in, realized that he does not have enough budget, but he could literally, you know, exponentially grow the following of the interesting stuff, which is of public interest of the business, by utilizing social media.
Got you.
So
without
he was
a
very
PR
clear
campaign,
that
without,
right.
Okay.
So the small business owners, we have to do more with less, and therefore these digital platforms become an enabler for you to do more with less.
Yes.
Right. But one of the and one of the things, not but, is that they, at least every week, they remind South Africans what their mandate is. They don't take it for granted that we shared it 2 weeks ago. You should know what our mandate is. They take it that if Google saw it last week, she may have seen it because she was scrolling quickly.
Yes.
Right? But today, because now maybe I'm reporting on Arthur Mafukade, you know, embezzling lotteries fund money.
Yes.
Now we want you to remember what we do. So that next time when you are angry and you say, yeah, you know, SIU is not, you then say, no, listen, We there's somewhere where we start and where we stop.
Got
right?
You.
This is outside of our mandate. We appreciate that you have a concern as a citizen, right? And that kind of reminder, if you are a small business owner, people will then understand. A lot of people don't understand what PR is.
Mm.
And I don't blame them. We are to blame as professionals to a great extent, right? Because we've done it disservice to a great extent.
Got you.
But the thing that you then do with that thing is that you remind people who you are, what you do, why you do it, and who you do it for. And of course, you then continue just doing the benefits. And in that way, people will, in fact, one of the things that happened in winter, people would have, you know, have a 3-bar heater on.
Yes.
And then somebody would say, po, SIU, this person, you know, must be embezzling some money. You then recognize that now the SIU does not have to do much to gain trust, because they already have trust in South Africans.
Yes.
In fact, now Ratalian, essentially,
yes.
to SIU.
Exactly.
Right.
I'm so glad that you mentioned this, because it really does make it a lot more practical for us to understand the lessons that we do need to consider, especially as communicators in the space that we're in. I do see that, and if you, for anyone who's looking for this report, maybe just remind us where we can find it, because it might bring about very interesting reading for many who want to listen and engage and also see who's leading the charts from a government point of view.
The report is on our website, decode.co.za. Decode spelled DECODE.CO.ZA.
100%. Yes. And if you've just joined us, we are in conversation with Lorato Chengeng, who is the CEO of Decode Communications. We are taking a look at their report, which highlights findings of digital engagement and citizen trust, and specifically looks at government leaders. So as you can imagine, right through from MPs to the presidency, a few familiar names who definitely make headlines. And this takes us back to a question that I do want to ask. It's come through from one of our listeners who's read the report, and they are intrigued by Banyaza Lesufi.
Yes.
They say that he's in the top five of all of the lists. Most engaged, most followed, most engaging account.
Yes.
So this tells us something about what he's doing right in comparison to some of his peers.
Yeah.
Maybe talk us through that.
So I guess, you know, the persona that Banyaza had projected to us as the citizens of Gauteng, firstly, was that he's responsive, right? So there would be, when he was the MEC of education, when there was a stabbing at a school or anything, he would be almost the first responder.
True.
Right? And there he would then communicate with a lot of empathy. Whether it was fake empathy or not, it's a different matter. But you could tell that there's somebody who, you know, feels the pain of the victim or whoever, you know, would have been wronged, right? But then the other thing that he was able to do, even particularly while he was at the Department of Education, when somebody would tag him to say, oh, school X in Garangua, you know, Tebogwana Comprehensive School in Garangua, you know, we're struggling with this, that, or the other, he would then tag Steve Mabona, who's the
spokesperson,
and he would tag the Department of Education, and he would say, take care of this. So he then gives you a sense that I am working with a team. This is not a Banyaza thing.
Yes.
It's not a Banyaza fiefdom, right? And whenever then there are issues that people talk about, he then engages.
Got you.
He you know, like you know, Minister Sivuyo Gokhube did when she saw the Panjal. It may be seen as a, yeah, but you know, it may be for vibes and but the interesting thing that we're going to be watching over the next while is this something that she does consistently?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the other thing, right? Where during Minister, during, you know, when Fikile Mbalula was minister, people would tell him about potholes.
Mm.
But when Anele Mdoda from the other place tweeted about a pothole, he responded to her.
Exactly.
Right? So it's almost this kind of thing where you then try to observe that, do people pick and choose? And what Banyaza does is that it does not matter whether it is Gugu or it is Lorado or it's my mother in Garankuwa.
Yes.
He would, as long as, one, he finds that there's a legitimate concern or question, he would respond to it and then tag the respective departments. So that is the clever thing. The only criticism that I have, though,
yes,
is that if you are a premier of, you know, the economic hub of the country, right, when do you find time to tweet? Should you not be building a team around you that actually does the tweeting?
100%.
That does the responding.
Even though that would change the tone, because now it would be more structured and more formal, so it, you know, there wouldn't be the laughs, but I hear what you mean.
Right, because then it means that when he's engaged in, like now, they're in cabinet Lekgotla for, you know, for 2 days, it means that people must expect minimal, you know, engagement from him.
Yes.
But ordinarily, if you institutionalize this account, it therefore means that whether you are sleeping or, you know, you are awake, whether you are in a meeting or not, it means that South Africa, Gautengers, can rely on that account to say things are burning. Somebody's going to say, we will attend to you.
Gosh.
And that is what South Africans sometimes just need. Right.
The acknowledgement.
And that is why what I think insurance with call centers have gotten right to a great extent.
Got you. Yeah. Hey, though they have their jokes.
No. Listen.
The banks, Nando's, some agents. I've seen some interesting tweets.
Indeed. And by the way, one of the things, Gugu, that we've also been saying is that we are not expecting any government minister or even a government account to be a Nando's.
Yes.
Right?
You don't know.
We know that, you know, humor can be very subjective.
Yes.
Right? Because if you look at Nando's, the reason they're able to, you know, get this kind of high engagement is because, you know, they're very light.
Yes.
You know, there's banter and the likes, right?
And that's always been, I guess, their mandate, right? To bring to the fore a lighthearted moment on something that is very relevant to South Africans at the
moment. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing is stopping us from experimenting. The city of Johannesburg account has experimented a few times, and they've got it right a few times. For instance, when there's a derby, like there's going to be a derby now over the weekend, you know, I'm with the yellow team. Oh my God, we're always
receiving
derby. You know, in the one after the one derby, Kaizer Chiefs was beaten, and then they then wrote to say, "Hey, Buffett, we know that, you know, you've been chowed. here's a list of clinics for you to go for psychological counseling. A friend of mine sent me this thing to say, Mchana, I know that you live next to Ivory Park. I'll send you the GPS coordinates. So now you see how the city is able to, because if they were to say, here's a list of clinics,
yes,
mental health, no one is going to respond.
That's true, but
now
they found
a way of inserting themselves into conversations.
Got you.
And that sometimes is part of the trick.
100%. Oh, Lorato, we can go on and on. And I think this is so relevant for many people who either are managing the brands of organizations, yeah, of institutions, the government, as we see, but even your own business and yourself as a brand.
Absolutely.
If there's anything I know, you need thick skin to be on Twitter.
Indeed.
Oh, and time.
Indeed.
Oh, yeah. So
indeed.
On X. So, but really worthwhile. And of course, very important for us to be mindful of it. If you want to read the report that takes a look at South African government leaders on X, and of course, their level of engagement for 2025, do log on to the Decode Communications website.
Yes.
That's where you'll be able to find it. Thank you. That's Lorato Chengeng, who's the CEO of Decode Communications, helping us learn some insight, get some views, and get a different perspective on the interactions we have with our government leaders on social media.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.